Reading from Mark 10, beginning with verse 46. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting there beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man, "Be encouraged. Get up. He's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How well do you see? If I take my glasses off like this, I see forms, and I see you have faces. I can't see those faces. I can see the difference between hair and the face, but when I put the glasses on, I see much more clearly. And I know that there are those who actually feel more comfortable taking their glasses off when they're getting ready to speak. Some do it because their glasses are different, whether they're reading or whether they're looking, and carrying a couple pairs is that's inconvenient, to say the least. But I like to see your faces. I like to see what God is doing in you. I like you to see what God is doing in me and what God is doing in us together as we seek God and God's will in our hearts and our lives. The story is told of Captain Horatio Nelson, that in 1801, Nelson was commanding a ship that was involved in a battle just off the coast of Copenhagen, Denmark. The French forces suddenly began to gain the upper hand, and so the lead ship for the British gave the order to withdraw. Nelson, on the other hand, thought that this battle was not over and that it could be won. And so while others were saying, "Captain, we have our orders. The signal has been given," he took the telescope, and being blind in one eye, he put his blind eye to the telescope and said, "Signal? I honestly do not see the signal." And so entered into the English language the phrase to turn a blind eye, to disregard, to not see. You know, the disciples were like that. They had selective sight, selective hearing. As they were going along with Jesus, for some time Jesus had been saying, "We're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, but on the third day I'm going to rise." And they're going, "La, la, 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 I can't hear you." Okay, maybe that's a little bit, you know, how you change the conversation when somebody is saying something you really don't want to talk about. Well, that's pretty much what they were doing. Divert your attention, your gaze. Of course, I'm not going to ask how many here have selective vision or selective hearing. I wouldn't want to make a liar out of anyone, because I'm sure if there are those that lifted their hands that I don't, there would be others saying, "Most assuredly." Jesus heard the cries of Bartimaeus. And did something about it. A number of years back, a young 12-year-old girl named Terry was babysitting her little brother. In a small village in the Midwest. She stepped outside to the mailbox when she turned. She couldn't believe her eyes. The house was engulfed in flames. And without even thinking, she darted back into the house. The house was going quickly. And a burning rafter had fallen and had trapped her baby brother. And so she struggled to get him free. Carried him outside and revived him while anxious neighbors were gathered and the fire department arrived. The neighbors had been afraid to enter. But they said, "Terry, you are such a brave girl. What were you thinking entering that burning house?" And she says, "I wasn't thinking anything. I just heard my little brother crying." Jesus heard the cry of Bartimaeus, as he has heard the cry of so many through the years. As he has heard our cries, as he has heard our prayers, as he has heard us, as we have just opened ourselves to him and ask his touch, his blessing, his intervention. Bartimaeus, as he sat there, was blind. But he saw what others could not see. He saw that Jesus was a healer, but even more, that Jesus was the Son of David, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the promised one of God. And he dared to believe that Jesus would care about him as he cried out, "Have mercy on me." Of course, others were not too pleased. You know, sometimes it can be inconvenient when God's blessing one person when it seems to be at our expense, or we're so involved in the way we want a service to go that we don't understand when God seems to take it another direction, or our lives a different direction. They were gathered along the road, because traditionally they would gather and they would wish well those pilgrims who were on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem, or from wherever they had come, coming up that backside into Jerusalem. And those who could not go, those who could not make the trip themselves, would give Godspeed to those, or ask Godspeed to those who were going, as if they were going in their place. And so they are there, and it's like, be quiet. We're cheering people on. You're disturbing our religious service here. But then Jesus calls, and then they say, oh, it's okay, he's calling you. It changes things. That, wow, Jesus is calling you. He heard you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that special? Job's friends. Okay, that's stretching it a little bit, but Job's so-called friends had taken his misery and multiplied it tenfold, maybe more. But those people that he was counting on to care for him and to feel for him and to be there for him, well, they were there, but they were there saying, oh, you must be such a bad person for God to do what he's doing to you, for God to allow you to go through this. You must be terrible. You must have done something absolutely awful. And they kept at it, kept badgering, until Job was ticked off with them, and sadly, he got a little ticked off with God. God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why are you taking me through all this? And if God were here, I'd give him a piece of my mind. I'd tell him a thing or two. I know it's not quite the way it reads, but it's the general gist of it, isn't it? And then God shows up. Wasn't counting on that. And when God shows up, he takes him to task. And what we have here in this closing of the book of Job, this last chapter, chapter 42, is a penitent Job, and one who has found contentment in the midst of his situation. So long as I know that you are here, God, I can handle this. I can handle all that I've been through. I can handle this dust and ashes. I can handle this penitence. I can handle all of this. Life being so unfair, so terrible. I can handle it so long as you're here. He found contentment. And as he found that contentment in God, an amazing thing happened. God blessed him. That God had blessed him, first of all, with his presence. God had blessed him with a change in attitude and situation. But then God began to bless in other ways until it says that his latter days were even better than the first. And we skipped a few verses giving some of that as we skip to the end that says, and Job died. Old and content. He died in the arms of God, contented with what God had given and how God had blessed. As we have closed out our study of Adam Hamilton's little book, Enough, Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity, we find the story of a parishioner who comes to Adam and he's dying. But he says, Adam, these past 18 years have been the best years of my life. And of course, Adam says, wouldn't it be wonderful if our last 18 years, or the last years, the last year, the last whatever, is better than the first, better than the former days. It's what Jesus does, isn't it? He reminds us that the best is yet to come. And even beyond this life, even beyond the blessings of his presence and our time here, is eternity. Wow. What a God we serve. Fanny Crosby was a blind hymn writer who wrote over 8,000 hymns and poems to the glory of God. At 8 years of age, this small child who had been blind since the age of 6 weeks, when a quack doctor had given the wrong thing and she was blinded forever, wrote this poem. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Fanny Crosby was also sure that one day in God's eternity she would see all the glories and all the beauties. And she wrote what was a hymn, My Savior First of All. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him. I shall know him. and redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. It's like Bartimaeus. Fanny Crosby was blind, but she saw much better than so many. As she saw that God has a plan for our lives, that God had a plan for her, and God had a plan for good and not for evil, that God was with her in the midst of everything that she faced, and that God would keep her, and that the best was yet to come. God has a plan for your life. Yes, in the question of the sermon, you have a plan, I trust. As Nick has put it, God changes that around so that we can claim, you have a plan. And Lord, I trust you. I trust you completely. So be it. Amen. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love, for your call upon our lives. And Lord, as we sing together, may our hearts, our lives be yielded to you, and this be the true affirmation of our faith, of our trust in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray.